You weren't alive, Jules.
Exactly. Thank you. It must have been a great year for everybody else. That's how my dad always puts it.
I would have been three.
Any year that I wasn't born, it's a great year.
Yeah, I would have been three at the time, so I wouldn't know.
You're younger than me.
Huh?
You're younger than
Everyone's
me.
Younger than me.
I was born in 81. My dad's dirt bike that I'm working on is older than I am.
Well, you know, that's not uncommon for people to have cars older than them, you know, especially if they're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am your host, Lords of America. This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 84. And to my left is the motorcycle man.
Joshua.
Jules.
J. Jonah Jesse.
All right. Now, of course, J. Jonah Jesse and Miguel here haven't been on for a while.
This is never going to fade.
No, it's never going to fade. So.
Well, it is your name. So.
Yeah, my middle name.
Yeah, but it's in your name.
Yes.
So therefore,
well, you know, okay, I could just call you number 23.
We could do that because I was born on the 23rd.
Epic would have been if you were the 23rd born on the 23rd. It's like some seventh son of seventh son crazy crap.
Yeah.
Isn't that also a movie now?
Of Iron Maiden.
Seventh Son. Yeah, it was I can't remember who.
I know, I think Jeff Bridges is in it.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges and some other new actor, I think.
So, I was going to actually, you know, I'm glad you showed up because I thought of a question yesterday.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you specifically.
Okay.
So, what's it like being Cuban on Cinco de Mayo? Do they just assume?
Oh, almost instantly. Almost instantly. If you're any shade of brown on Cinco de Mayo, they assume you want tequila. First off, I'm going to let everybody know, tequila is just a Mexico thing.
Yeah.
No other Hispanic country drinks tequila. That's a just them thing. We all drink rum or whiskey.
It has to do with how rum it's
is,
made.
Rum is Cuban. Rum is pure
yes,
Cuban.
Yes, rum is Cuban. But, I mean, like, literally, you can go to South America and no one's going to give you tequila.
And
it's a just Mexico thing.
And honestly, Cinco de Mayo is more of an American thing than a Mexican thing.
Unfortunately, it is. Cinco de Mayo is literally like the Mexican St. Patrick's Day holiday.
Because they don't even celebrate it in Mexico.
The reason why I'm saying that is because Cinco de Mayo is basically. White people's Mexican St. Patrick's Day excuse to get loaded drunk.
So yeah, I figure being Cuban on St. Patrick's Cinco de Mayo is probably like being Scottish on St. Patrick's Day. Nobody really cares.
Yes, nobody really cares. You're not Irish. You don't really have anything to do with anything.
Yeah,
but everyone has
red hair. Come on,
But no, it's annoying. Is what I say. Because everyone's like, I always ask everybody, like, Jules, do you celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Well, why do you?
Yeah, really.
Like, oh, it's like Mexico Independence Day. No, it's not!
You see, I know where he's coming from just simply because of the fact that Carlos Mencia said it best. It's like, if you live in New York, you're white. If you live in Florida, you're white. If you live in California, you're still white. But if you're brown, you're Puerto Rican up in New York. If you're in California, you're Mexican. And if you're Florida, you're in Cuban. You change wherever area in the United States you're at.
Actually, I am Puerto Rican in New York because most of my family in New York is Puerto Rican, and I am Cuban in Florida because I was born in Florida and my family is Cuban.
But you understand where he's coming from.
That actually does apply to me, except for the Mexican part. I don't go to California.
So the actual reason behind Cinco de Mayo, I found this out the other day, and I thought it was funny. So it's celebrating a battle they won against the French.
Yep.
In a war they lost.
Yes. Get ready for it. It's considered one of the bloodiest battles in that entire war. In fact, the reason they remember it, because it's a tragedy that they remember. It's like people remember, was it Shiloh, right? Isn't Shiloh the Civil War? What's the one of the blood? Oh, no, Gettysburg.
Yeah, Gettysburg.
Shiloh was the second bloodiest.
Yeah.
But everyone remembers Gettysburg, right?
Yeah.
Because it was a terrible tragedy.
Unless you go to a really crappy school and their history department sucks.
So. Anyways, that's what Cinco de Mayo is for them.
Public.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called public school.
Cinco de Mayo, it was a tragedy. It was a win But it was at a great cost, and they eventually lost the war because of how many numbers they lost in that battle.
And yeah, and like,
and then you guys get drunk.
They were totally overnumbered. The story is, they were totally overnumbered, but they had a superior position.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so it was, we're talking cavalry charges uphill.
Yes. Well, it was the same thing with
the French. Thought they had the numbers to do it, but yeah.
Well, it was the same thing with Teddy Roosevelt in the Battle of San Juan Hill. The people he was fighting against had better position, you know, and more people. He had less people to do what he had to do, but they went charging in. That's like
I one had the higher ground, Anakin.
Yeah, higher ground, Anakin. But he still higher won ground. That battle of San Juan Hill.
Also, historically speaking, it's kind of our fault as America because. We actually, they were invaded. The war was in between, originally aided by Britain and French, France, which we had treaties with, that they were violating by invading something, or colonizing something on that continent.
Yeah.
But we were in our own civil war. So
we said, forget about it.
We were in our own civil war, and we're getting aid from the French, so we let them invade.
Yeah, you can't split yourself too far.
So. And so, yeah.
But, you know, I can't say I expect much from people who still celebrate July 4th as Independence Day. I'm just saying, guys. You can't, for instance, if you're divorced, or you're getting a divorce, and you sign the divorce papers, are you divorced the day you sign it, or until they sign it?
Fair point.
Actually, I think you're divorced the day it's filed.
Yeah,
correct.
You're
but
official.
My point is, it's not a, you're not going through a divorce
the day after you get
until they know the day you celebrate independence,
and that would be the day you celebrate independence. Yeah. The day they get to see, oh hey, it's over. So King George, King George didn't see the document until sometime in August. I think it's like the tail end of August.
Right.
Well, the whole reason why that even started.
We celebrate the signing of the Declaration.
Yes.
Of
But really, we just signed it, and they had no idea that we were going to take independence.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily when we were officially independent. When
we declared
ourselves independent.
Yes, but like I said, you can't technically declare until the other person is the other party is aware. And,
Wait! Not to mention the fact that
according to the declarations of war, you're not. It's not a declaration of war.
The
other party can acknowledge the declaration.
Well, day that they signed,
we established ourselves as a country on basically as declaring ourselves independent. That's when we announced. We will be a country.
Yeah, but the problem was is that the day that everyone signed it,
and
it took
when we stopped caring.
Yeah,
about
but it, but it took.
Yeah, I get that. No, and that's all good. But the semantical argument is, if you declare war on any other country until you tell them you declared war, or they hear you say that you declared war, they have no idea. It's not a declaration until they know.
And this is the point I'm trying to make, is that they didn't know about it till almost 6 months after, because back then it used to take a long damn time to sail across the Atlantic. So from July 4th, it took them somewhere between 3 and 6 months before Britain ever even knew or even found out about it. So it's like by then they're looking at the dates like, damn, the mail takes a long time to get here. You know?
That's my point, though.
That's
what I'm saying. That he didn't declare war until he got the document.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but nobody pays attention to that. Yeah, the fireworks.
But hell, it had to go through Drunk.
That's like Drunk the whole article of Confederation, the Articles of Confederation. You know, we were a country for 10 years before we were the United States of America.
Yeah.
Under the Constitution.
Yeah, we were a country 10 years without a president. Technically.
No, without a commander-in-chief.
Okay, fair.
We had a president. George Washington was the general of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't officially make it commander-in-chief. It makes the president, under the Constitution, the president was the head of the army.
Yes. And the sad part,
as well.
And the sad part is that he actually lost more battles than he won. But he still wound up becoming president. And personally, I think that's probably just because he had a really good PR person.
Washington
was a good PR person himself.
He didn't have PR people back then.
No.
He was a PR person.
Yeah, he was a good speaker. He had good ideals. He for instance, didn't believe in a party system.
Hey, and
George Washington didn't belong to a single party.
Yeah, and
he said it would divide the country.
Yeah, and he brewed moonshine and grew weed. So
yeah, but like everybody did
okay.
That.
Yeah, okay. No, hold on.
That's inferring.
You're saying he grew weed. No, he grew hemp. Hemp was a cash crop back then.
All right, fine.
And hemp was never rope saying anything back then.
And clothing. Which is,
clothing, yes.
Yeah, rope and twine and thread.
Livestock feed.
And I'm not wanting to get into a marijuana argument.
No, again. Let's not.
I'm walking away if that happens.
But there is a difference between marijuana and hemp.
I meant to say hemp. It's just out of habit. Sorry. Alright, yeah, so can we get off the history debate?
No, man, this is actually probably the strongest area for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least this side of the table.
Kind of ironic. Yeah. We're all very firm in history.
I actually got some...
Speaking of history, there is somewhat comic-related, geek-related news. EDX, if you've ever heard of that program, it's a couple different MIT and a couple of different universities. I think most of the Ivy Leagues get in on it. But they do online courses you can take for free. Mm-hmm. So there is like a small fee, and you can get a certificate too.
Yeah,
if they actually have somebody of a certain, you pay like $50, and they'll have somebody grade and make sure that you're getting the certificate or whatever. Yeah. But Stan Lee and couple other people are doing a history of superheroes.
Yeah.
Or the rise of the superheroes course. It's being put on by Stanford.
Yeah.
Stanford.
That's cool. It's pretty cool.
Wow. That is pretty slick. So. It's like that joke from the movie PCU with Jeremy Piven back in the day, where he was telling the new pledge that he was walking around the campus. He was like, look, if you can play your cards right, you can major in Game Boy. You know? It's about that same level at this point now, because you can, I mean, hell, the guys who owned Ben and Jerry's or ran Ben and Jerry's, hell, they became billionaires, and all they took was a mail-by-order course in ice cream making. So.
Well, knowing being good at business has actually nothing to do with college education.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing when I say, because business to me is an art form.
Oh, yeah, it is an art form.
And what I say with any art form, education can make you better than you are.
Yeah.
But without practical experience, it means nothing.
No. Not just that, without vision.
You know, like even as a painter or a photographer or anything, if you don't have a certain, there's got to be a certain touch to go to that extra level of being a master.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Bill Gates was a genius.
Yeah.
Or is a genius.
When it comes to software code.
You know? But that he would have been a genius without any kind of education. Yeah. So, the fact that he went to college and got some education probably helped him a lot. But
it was also,
if he was an idiot, it wouldn't have helped him. He may have been able to learn how to program and code.
Yeah.
But
it was also at a time when college education was actually affordable. You know. I know that's kind of a semantics argument, but it's actually a realistic statement. If you know, when it comes to most places,
well, and, you know, you're saying that about, because like he dropped out of like Harvard,
which was ungodly expensive. Well, so did what's his name from Facebook, the guy who owns Facebook,
Zuckerberg dropped
out of Harvard too.
Which, you know, Harvard's never been affordable deliberately.
No. Yeah. Well, no Ivy League school has been.
Well, it's like, so Vanderbilt, you know, they're insanely expensive.
Yes.
But, all right, here's the thing. Most of the people that go there are on one of their financial aid packages.
Yeah.
So either you have to pay an ungodly amount to get in there or to earn your way in through grades and scholarships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, or have a family member that work there.
Yeah. Or work at the hospital. Yeah.
So essentially, for every person that pays their way in, they are paying for the education of two other people.
Practically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's giving people. So sometimes, if done right, private universities charging too much can actually be a good thing. Because if you look,
depending on how it's used.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I actually have some news.
All right.
All right, now, comic book day, you know, free comic book day was May 2nd, and it just happened to coincide with the KTM motorcycle test ride that Castle Motorsports was putting on. And I got to go down there, and I got to ride some brand new bikes that KTM is putting out this year. Now, for those of you who don't know, KTM is, they're made over in Europe. They are mainly a dirt bike and enduro, you know, cross.
I was actually familiar with them, but I didn't.
Well, I'm saying for people that are listening.
But only because I have an uncle that races dirt bikes.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, the reason why KTM is so popular is because back during the Paris-Dakar rally that they used to do from Europe to Africa, like when KTM first started getting into it, they were like in the top 10. It was like KTM, like almost every place finisher practically.
So what's your news?
Well, the ones that they came out with is the 1290 Super Duke, which is an enduro. It's like a cross between dirt and street. So I rode that one, and I was really hoping it was going to be a really nice bike, but honestly, it is like the worst bike I have ever ridden in my entire life. And that's saying something. Because for like the amount of money that they're charging for that bike is ridiculous. Because first off, the height, the ride height of the bike is way too tall. Like I was up on my tiptoes while the kickstand was still down. Okay, which is ridiculous. There's no need for that. Second, the rear suspension absolutely sucked. I felt every bump, divot, and rivet, you know, and whatever in the road, like every single point. And it was like the front of the bike was pushed so far down that when you grabbed the front brake just barely, it grabbed so hard you felt like you were about ready to face plant over the front of the handlebars.
All right, so
you know, and plus, like all your weight was like on your hands. So like about once every mile, I'd have to take my hands off the hand guards and just, you know, shake my hands just to get some feeling back in them because it hurt. And the rear brake had like almost no grab.
So overall, you're saying a no buy on the new KTM?
Absolutely not.
Your review is
now the 390.
So it stretched you out. Gave you a pounding and made you want to throw your face in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of the worst bikes. And, like, it, like for what they did with six gears in it, they should have just done it with five. And the RPMs, you had to rev it up to almost 5,000 RPMs in order to, you know, kick into another gear. But the RPMs never went down when you kicked into another gear. It always stayed at 5,000 RPMs, I don't know if they engineered it like that or what. But
out of the new line, did you see any that you did like, the model you liked? What was that?
Well, the 390 street bike, it's a single cylinder. Okay. It's basically like a Honda street bike or a Kawasaki, you know, small
What's
displacement.
What's the price range?
Too bloody much, honestly.
Fair enough. All right.
The 390 was a little bit better than that 1290, but not by much.
It went so badly that you went home and watched PCU, because where did that reference... We're coming back to that. Where did that reference come from?
What?
Who has PCU at the top of their head?
I've seen it maybe on
WGN once. The made-for-WGN version.
But that's one of the classic movies of back then. You know,
that's a classic movie.
Hell, Jon Favreau was in that movie.
Jon Favreau was in a lot of movies.
I know, but he was.
But I can't say
was
that's
Samuel Jackson in that movie.
No,
everything.
No, David Spade was in that movie because it was a perfect reference or a perfect analogy for what we were saying about that.
Are you sure?
Well, I honestly can't argue this because I've never actually seen that movie.
What the hell? Never seen PCU?
Have you never seen Airheads either?
I've only seen a made-for-TV version, and it was rough.
No, I own.
Well,
Airheads.
Yeah, it was a made-for-TV version.
Airheads is classic.
Yeah, Airheads is awesome. That
I don't understand how you've never seen PCU and you've seen Airheads.
I don't think I've seen PCU either.
I have like 500 to 600 movies on DVD, like actual DVDs.
Yes, yes.
And that's even after I had a third of them stolen when I got robbed over Christmas. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the physical media holdouts for a lot of stuff.
But mostly I'm asking, did you just watch PCU?
No, I just happen to remember a lot of the movie.
Why?
Because it's good. It's a good movie. It's funny as hell.
Is Ellen in it?
No.
I think Kathy Griffin is it.
No. Shut up. Fuck y'all.
That right. Language.
Sorry.
let's not bust up. Right. This is not made for HBO.
All right. So
this is the WGN version of this.
Okay. Well, yeah. So anyway,
but you mentioned Free Comic Book Day. Thanks to everybody that came out.
Yeah, no kidding.
It went really well. You know, it was definitely busy.
Busy. It was practically packed in here almost.
Yeah, it definitely was. We did good, and I think everybody left happy for the most part, except for a few latecomers who unfortunately came too late.
Yeah.
We ran out of the free comics.
About an hour and a half after the door opened, practically.
No!
Well, not an hour and a half, but it might as well have been.
About 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, well.
Yeah, because I was
over halfway through the day, yeah, mm-hmm. Which we had just had a lot more than expected,
right?
Yeah, more than ever before. So, did you read anything from Free Comic Book Day?
I haven't had a chance. I've been catching up on all the trades that I've had.
Did you read the Avengers?
The Avengers, the Mark Waid. I'm interested to see what he's going to do. It's got a cool cast of characters. I don't know what's going to happen between now and Secret Wars when his run starts, so
yeah. All different.
Yeah. I like the team. I like a lot of the characters being used.
So who is the team?
So it has, hold on, let me grab mine. It's got the Vision.
Captain Marvel.
Oh no, Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
The new Thor.
Are you talking Lady Thor or
Thor? Yes, like
just Thor. Lady Thor is a totally different character.
Whatever. All right.
I mean, she is. She's a totally different character. That's like saying, you know, a Red Lantern and a Green Lantern are the same thing. They both wear a ring.
Well, they do both wear a ring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're not the same thing. Red Lanterns are based on rage. Green Lanterns are based on will.
Yeah.
New Thor is totally...
That's like saying Ellen and Kathy Griffin. Are
the same. There we go. You're putting in the terms you can understand. Yes.
Thank you. Are y'all ever going to let that go?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. It's got all new Captain America, which is Falcon as Cap. It's got Miles Morales, who was the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And the new Nova. And an Iron Man.
An Iron Man.
We're not very specific as to which Iron Man it is. Just yet. But it looks cool.
What do you mean, which Iron Man it is?
Do you have any idea how many people have been Iron Man?
No, because I've only known of Tony Stark.
Iron Man is a job title.
Yes,
Iron Man is whoever's
wearing
the
suit.
Thor is whoever's wielding the hammer.
All right.
Yes. More people have been Iron Man than...
It's like somebody else could be Batman.
Yeah.
If
other people have been Batman beyond Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Other people have been Iron Man beyond Tony Stark.
Batman and Robin. Okay. Other people have been Daredevil.
Yes, other people have been Daredevil.
What?
Yeah. Several people have been Daredevil.
Is that what you do in the Marvel Universe? If you want to off your girlfriend, become Daredevil for a week?
It's same thing with Spider-Man. Other people have been Spider-Man, and they also lose their girlfriends.
Yep.
Through tragic accidents.
Does that mean Gwen Stacy's a lesbian?
What?
Never mind. I was trying to make a joke, but apparently that went right over your head.
I don't think it even begun to go over my feet. Where did that start?
Never mind. Y'all were saying that other people have been Spider-Man. So you're lying.
Hold on.
So
no, she lost her boyfriend, Peter Parker.
The line of thought that I was going with was you said that other people have been Spider-Man.
Yes.
Well, because Spider-Gwen, you know, Gwen Stacy.
She's Spider-Woman, though.
Yeah. Well, all right, fine. Never mind.
Well, I'm just saying, like, she's Spider-Woman.
Funny,
the character she is Spider-Woman. There's been several Spider-Women as well. But Spider-Man and Spider-Woman are two totally different characters.
The Spider-Gwen books in the alternate universe, where she is essentially
him,
Peter Parker.
Yes.
And Peter Parker took her role in dying.
Yes.
So in the alternate universe, she lost her boyfriend.
Okay.
Yes. She did. That's why I didn't
I haven't even read that title and I know that, man. Come on. Keep up.
I haven't read that title either at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Keep up.
Keep up, though. But yes, I said Iron Man in his general, non-specific way. Because who knows after Secret Wars who this Iron Man's going to be. Because several people have been Iron Man.
Yeah, and I mean, at the rate of Superior Iron Man.
Yeah, Superior Iron Man's going.
A total.
It could be an AI based on an older version of Tony.
That's not a D.
Yeah. Well, he is, but he isn't as bad as Superior Iron Man. Which is what's cool about that series is Superior Iron Man's villain is an AI based on the original Tony Stark prior to becoming the Superior Iron Man. It's an earlier version of Tony. And it's a pretty good read, too, by the way, if you're not reading Tom Taylor's Iron Man run right now. It's good. It's good. I really enjoyed it. As a longtime Iron Man fan, it's a good run.
Any predictions about Secret War?
Which
I believe number one came out today.
Yes, it came out today. And it has a beautiful cover. Yeah, Spot Gloss.
10 stars out of 10 stars.
Yeah. Mark doesn't say that about anything.
Yeah, and also...
Mark's like Larry, but with like comic books instead of movies. He doesn't like anything anymore.
I have a prediction.
Everything that's been good has already happened. No offense.
That's the only prediction I could come up with.
Yeah, we've had it. Yeah, we've seen it before.
Yeah, but, beautiful. Not Marvel's cover.
No, they kind of tried to do it once, and they backpedaled almost instantly.
That's all I can say about it so far.
Wow.
Yeah?
And just the last page of Secret War is jaw-dropper.
Man, I'm so excited.
Me too.
I am excited. Jonathan Hickman is easily probably my favorite writer right now, so I have a lot of high hopes.
So he's taking the place of Bendis?
He's taking the place of Bendis for a while.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so now Bendis is Jonathan Hickman, wherever you are.
Probably not. Bendis has got his money where he needs.
Are you going to say
did you take your Bendis poster down off
your... No, it's still there. Just the Hickman poster's right next to it now. Okay. But,
Do you think there's going to be an unsaid secret war, quote-unquote, between Bendis and Hickman?
Over Jules' affection?
Yeah, they call it Ultimate End, where the Ultimate Universe goes against Jonathan Hickman's 616 universe. Bendis created the Ultimate Universe.
No, what I'm asking is, do you think there's going to be comic book nerds that are going to have T-shirts with, like, Team Bendis or Team Hickman?
No, because they work together, and they don't work against each other.
No. I mean, if anything, it would be Team 616 versus Team Ultimate.
Which is a thing. Team 616 versus Team 1610. That's the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah. Because the nerds know the names of the universe numbers. Yeah. If you're going to nerd out that hard about universes...
You're going to be saying 616.
Yeah.
Universe 52 is actually, in the Marvel Universe, is the DC Universe.
I'm Team 615. Yay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Universe 615 right here, guys. Right here.
I get that reference.
Okay, I was just going to ask, did you get that? Do we need to start over?
I just wasn't, reacting to it. So, oops. Oh, I read the two-part Adagio series of Blood Plus over the weekend. Manga series.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a little, it was good. Artwork was, pretty good, even though it was all in black and gray, but, like,
I don't mind artwork being in black and gray, done right.
Yeah, as long as it's done right. Yeah, but, a lot of the dialogue seemed to be jumping around from this to this to this, so it almost seemed like it was a little hard to follow, like, what was going on, even though you kind of get the gist of it, but, yeah.
Read or not read for manga fans?
I say read, but it could have done with like a few more details, to kind of make it a little bit more, easy to read instead of just jumping from point to point.
But I did actually recently pick up, if you came here at Comic City too, there's a gorgeous copy of the Stray Bullets Uber Alice collection, and I started recently rereading that.
And that is a thick book too.
That is a thick book, man. It is a read.
You get your money's worth out of that read.
It's only like $60.
Right. I mean, that's probably the best omnibus value I've ever seen. Big Damn Sin City was the double size hardback that was only $100. But that thing looked like you could beat to death a small elephant with it.
Was it the size of the Atlanta phone book?
A little bit bigger.
It was much bigger than any phone book I've ever seen, literally.
Because the Atlanta phone book is like almost 3 to 5 inches thick.
It's like that Settlers Catan right there.
Damn.
It was big.
It was about 6 inches thick, probably about about 18 inches tall.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah, and a foot wide. It was double. It was like almost Life magazine size pages. Yeah, they were. It was huge.
It was huge.
Man, you could knock someone out with that thing if you hit them hard enough.
But if you've ever read Stray Bullets before by David Lampin, it's like if Taxi Driver and Pulp Fiction had a baby and made you feel just indifferent for the rest of your life. Is how I would describe reading Stray Bullets.
Okay.
It's like strangely based in real life, but obviously goes a little bit further than real life would ever go. Somebody dies in about every issue, and everyone's a terrible person. It just makes you feel weird.
How is this different than real life?
It isn't, and that's the scary part about it. The only difference is it takes place between the... And it's an anthology book. It's told completely out of order. But all the characters have something to do with everyone else. Everyone is slowly tied together toward the end of the book. And it will just make you feel weird. It'll make you feel like any situation could blow up in your face and potentially get you killed. Awful. Awful experience. But absolutely wonderful because it makes you feel something. I definitely recommend it. I definitely recommend you to come to Comic City 2 and pick up the Stray Bullets of Morales edition while there's still one on the shelf.
Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Yeah. How do we know that comic book shop?
It's actually where I bought my copy. And
we're sitting
while they still have one on the shelves, guys, and you're local, buy it. That is my... Seriously. Oh. If you haven't bought it yet, you're messing up.
Also read Flash trade paperback number 3, Guerrilla Warfare. Love the artwork. Storylines were great. And I loved how when the fight was picking up, when King Grodd was coming through the, you know, through the Speed Force and coming to Central City, how the Flash was kind of having a hard time keeping up with all the gorillas in the city, and the Rogues were like, you know, screw this, you know, let's help him because this is our city too, and no gorillas are going to take over our turf. So I thought it was kind of cool how the Rogues and Flash were teaming up to fight off against Grodd and his goons. So
I saw.
Yeah. So I really liked it. And I'm looking forward to number 4. I got to get Mark to order it. So, and then I've read Red Lanterns number 2, and I'm on volume 3 of Red Lanterns.
So you're liking the Red Lanterns?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Still trucking on.
Yeah, I'm still loving it.
Anybody check out any Convergence titles?
Not touching it with a 40-foot pole.
It's over. I've heard actually decent things. I've been talking to Mark about it a little bit, and he says it's not really as bad as you think it'd be. Just with, you know, DC's track record recently of Convergence-esque titles.
Yeah, it's a fresh wound to me. It's like Flashpoint just happened, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Something like that.
It's the quickest reboot they've done in a long time. It comes so soon.
Once you start, can't stop with them reboots.
You can't.
Yeah.
It seems so easy to not just renumber a book, but to start completely from the beginning. Because who doesn't want to watch, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents die again?
Yeah, for the umpteenth time.
But what I hear they're doing with this is they're keeping
a lot of the New 52.
Yeah. And they're really just...
not really the full reboot.
No, yeah. But it's basically them saying, okay, everyone likes this version of Batman, so we'll just restart everybody else.
And
we'll keep this version.
But you
of
see,
going.
This is why I like the New 52s because, you know, me as a new reader, it's a good jump-in point. And there are so many different titles you can pick practically anything.
They're restarting literally all of them.
And that's what I wish they would not do. I wish they would just stick with the New 52 and continue on from there.
Like I said, like a handful. I think it's, you know, like Batman.
Yeah, they're keeping just a handful. They're canceling everything else. And I heard that they're canceling Red Lanterns, and I wish they wouldn't because I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, they're going to reboot the whole Lantern universe again.
Yeah, so who knows what happens.
Yeah, who knows what happens at that point.
But I mean,
you know, the way you got to look at it, while there may not be much you can do about it now, usually if they're about to end the universe, you end up getting some of the best stories. Hey, you've read some of the Convergence stuff. What are you thinking about it?
Yes.
Come on.
Get over here.
Come on.
time.
You'll tell us later.
Yeah, later being next week.
But I think some people, some of our customers are a little shy and don't want to answer.
Some prefer anonymity, which we are all right and with.
You know, it can't be that good. It can't be that good.
Yeah, if she doesn't want to talk about
she
would
have waved. Actually, she listens to the podcast.
Yeah, so...
She doesn't want to hear herself talk, I understand, because I probably sound...
Or it honestly can't be that good. She probably had nothing good to
He's
say
He's just
about
going with that one. He's
I'm
just
going with that one, guys. I'm going with the one that makes me feel
better. But honestly, I am curious about which titles they are going to keep.
They've already... You can pick up... You can grab that previews right now and find out.
Oh.
There you go.
That's a crappy thing about DC. They're already telling you what's staying and what's going. Forget about it. Forget about it. They're already that ahead of that game.
And they've already planned the next reboot.
Yep, they're already thinking, all right, Triple Final Crisis, next year.
Infinite Final Ultimate Crisis.
On so many Earths.
I came up with a way to describe number one.
Oh, yeah?
Number one of the Secret Wars is not the breaking the eggs to build the omelet. It's dumping the whole carton, shell and all, into the blender.
I'm excited. Yeah, who can be excited about that? Convergence is, from what I'm told, it's like writing the recipe to break the egg, to make the omelet, and think about it later.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing. What they're, I think what Convergence is really aiming to do is more so be like, hey, we limited ourselves a lot on how we set up New 52. And we made a very, very specific timeline, and some people want some of these other elements, and we want to be able to do that. And, you know, I think they're trying to be like, fans, we're sorry.
It seems like trying to reverse New 52 a little.
Yeah, well, I think that what it is they gained so many new fans, and they realized how many old fans they lost almost instantly. And this is them trying to be like, let's keep the new fans. Let's try and get some of the old guys back.
You know,
because they're the guys who really spend the money.
Yeah, because the new fans, it's like, you know, they might pick up a trade or two, but it's like they need the people who are...
Well, the thing about the new fans is they are very... The newer generation of comic book readers read more for the writers and artists than they do for the actual characters. And so,
when the writers leave, which they always
which
do,
they
at
always
DC.
Do at DC, especially in the New 52, they lose the new readers with them. It's not like back in the day where you followed the character.
Yeah, you just were Green Lantern.
You didn't care who was writing the book. You read it. But now, when your writer favorite artist leave, you leave with them typically now.
Which. The artists and writers usually leave to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Or the thing, get a better offer over at Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, the rise of the independent has really been the tale of this current iteration of comic book fans. Is they read more indie books, and they follow those indie writers into their big two work.
Yeah.
Or artists.
Or...
DC has always had really good luck with TV.
Yeah.
They definitely seem to be having bad luck right now in the comic end.
And honestly, the movie end, because who is actually looking forward to that Suicide Squad movie?
Well, considering the fact I've never read an issue of it, I wouldn't mind.
You know what? I think everyone's given the Joker at least like a really bad thing.
Have
which,
you seen yes, that Joker though?
No, he's really not as bad as you think.
Are we talking about Jared?
First one I saw is like, is this a Manson cover band Joker? Kind of the vibe I got.
Okay, I'm gonna say people who are bitching about that, but loved a dreadlock Joker in Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I mean, people like that Joker, but they're just...
Here's what I'm going to say about the Jared Leto Joker, and this is all I'm going to say about the Jared Leto Joker.
Because he looks like Riff Raff?
Yeah, that's actually a little more spot on than I was going to say. He looks like he listens to 30 Seconds to Mars, and I don't think he needs to look like he listens to 30 Seconds
to Mars. No, but see, I don't know. I think... The tattoos are fine. The grill is a bit much.
The grill is a lot. Actually, it's the tattoos. I don't even mind the... I kind of mind the grill. The tattoos are one of my biggest arguments about it. The whole thing about the Joker is he has no discernible marks on him.
Frank Miller run.
Yes, the Frank Miller run.
He has a on the big dragon. There's dragon tattoo on the back.
Which I don't mind
it's
because Jim Lee.
Batman and Robin.
Yes, which is not even my Joker.
Has a tramp stamp?
No, yeah, it's like a no, it's like a
huge Yakuza tattoo.
Super tramp stamp.
Oh,
but
God,
okay,
super tramp.
But that's not my Joker, man.
I seriously
that's not
hope
my Joker.
That no members of the Yakuza are listening to this right now.
Well, I highly doubt any members of the Yakuza are listening.
I'm
to
just
this.
If I get assassinated by the Yakuza, that
I
would
be
impressed. The biggest publicity stunt that we could do.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
All right, so...
But yeah, the Jared Leto Joker...
Yeah.
It's... And I'm sure in action it's not that bad. It's the still. It's the
right.
positioning of the still.
Yeah.
It comes out with no motion. It looks very
like
photoshopped.
Like an album cover.
Yes, it does. It looks very doctored.
Yeah, no, but see,
that probably is very doctor.
Yeah,
yes,
that,
I'm
but
sure
I'm also.
Is.
I thought it was actually. The first. When I first looked at that close up picture of him, I thought it was a drawing at first.
Yes, it
which
does.
Is alright, because I think what they're going for in this is a very stylized movie in the first place.
Yeah.
They're going something kind of like. Taking a thing from, like, say, Sin City, where they're going with a very specific style. There might be these weird black and white sort of. They're trying to make it look like an animated slash comic book thing with live action, I think is what they're going to be going for.
Yeah. I just.
And I don't think that's a bad thing considering Suicide Squad's. Like, so I think it could be cool.
I think
everyone's
cool.
Blowing up way too much over it, really, because.
And that's my problem is we're talking about a movie about a bunch of supervillains that no one has seen before in a movie version. So we're talking about springboarding to me big time villains that you've never seen in action before.
Yeah.
So they better do it
like,
right.
They've had some big names. They've gotten
Will
to
Smith.
Do some of this. Yeah. Yeah, Will Smith
big
being
Willie
the
style.
Biggest.
Well, I just hope
Jared
that. Leto. Well, I just hope that they do this right, because otherwise, if they don't do it right, then no one's going to ever want to see anything with those villains in it. And again, probably.
Well, the thing about the Suicide Squad is somebody's going to die.
Yep.
That's the guarantee. And I'm betting it's Will Smith. I bet a big time actor like that won't do a second movie. I bet you anything, he's the big name to go in that movie. I think it's a poor choice to start out this new universe with this movie, really,
yeah.
Per se. I think as a longtime fan of the DC universe, I think this is them reaching for straws. This is them trying to pull a Guardians of the Galaxy out of their hat.
Yeah, I think
I feel like it's such a ragtag group of people that they're putting into this movie. You almost feel like they're trying to pull that ragtag movie.
Like, they should have done like one or two movies to lead up to
honestly,
the Suicide Squad first.
I am
not even that. I just feel like it's such a strange title to start off with.
And really, because it's so different than all the other stuff, I have more hope for it than the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a Justice
League. Oh, yeah, no, and
yeah,
I will say that. I'm looking
Dawn
more forward.
Yeah,
Batman v Superman,
yeah.
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
I mean. Because, you know, let's face it, other than the Frank Miller-based Batman movies, there's not really been a great Superman movie.
Nope.
I liked Man of Steel. I thought it was good.
Yeah, that wasn't a Superman movie, though. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. Ask any Superman. Real, legitimate, has been reading Superman.
Why is it
their
that
lives.
Every time I say that I like a movie, y'all can't just like let me enjoy the smile that's on my face from enjoying
it? No,
the movie.
Enjoy it. Regardless of what we say, it's your own opinion.
Right.
That's
yeah.
The whole point.
No, I'm not yeah. saying yeah. any of them were
It's a
bad
Superman movie. It's got Superman in it. He's the main character.
They never call him Superman. The movie's called Man of Steel. He kills in the movie. Superman doesn't kill. Tries not to. Certainly in an early version of Superman, he wouldn't kill.
You know, I mean, but honestly...
And maybe push
this
to
is
the
a
point.
This is a Superman of this generation.
And this Superman of this generation still doesn't
still
kill.
Still doesn't kill.
Still doesn't kill. You can read the new 52 Superman. He don't
right,
know that.
Right, I mean, and now I'm
Which is totally why the movie didn't do well. For all the money they put into that movie did not do well.
None of the fans didn't like it. But I don't mind the darker hero movies.
No, and I don't either. But even that Dark Knight trilogy pretty much doesn't kill anybody.
It didn't bother me. I thought there were other things about the movie in general that bothered me.
Lois Lane felt forced.
Yeah, a lot of it felt forced.
A lot of it felt forced.
You know,
no, the beginning of the movie is pretty good. I gotta say, I liked all the Krypton stuff, and I didn't mind the Ma Pa Kent stuff.
Yeah, I didn't
but
mind
as soon as he becomes an adult, the whole movie feels rushed and just forced. It just feels... And it becomes Superman really fast with no real prep time. Just none of it felt like a natural flow. Like, Batman Begins feels like he naturally becomes Batman.
Right. The whole, you know, this chick just walks into a government installation, you know, type stuff.
And gets to interview him and just...
Right. Well, no, in the space, like, random reporter just happens to fly to Antarctica. Do you know how hard it is for anybody to fly to Antarctica?
That's a long, long plane ride.
Well, not to mention, it's not a tourist spot.
No. Yeah.
You know?
And it's not like there's a lot of planes that go out there. And certainly it can't be a cheap trip that a reporter, on a reporter's budget...
On a whim, if there was a war in Antarctica, sure, they would send reporters left and right.
but a war in Antarctica would probably require, you know, one clan of penguins fighting another. With rocks.
Are penguins in the Antarctic?
If it's a miniseries.
Okay, yeah, they're in
the Arctic.
Yeah, they're in the Arctic. But, anyways, it didn't make sense.
Polar bears.
Polar bears.
Fine, polar bears.
Polar bears fighting each other.
Polar bear war.
Yeah.
I'd read Polar Bear War. I'd read Polar Bear War before I saw Man of Steel 2. I'd read a Polar Bear War before I saw Man of Steel 2.
Well, you're saying, Polar Bear War. Look, honestly, the preview of...
Yeah, you know what? I would see Golden Compass too.
Well,
They should have made it.
Yeah,
well,
they
I actually really like Golden Compass.
So did
I did too.
His Dark Materials is a great story.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like
it was too steampunk I guess. I don't know.
The whole reason it didn't get made had nothing to do with the movie.
No, yeah, it had everything to do with what they imply in the book. Yes.
You know, because they imply certain things, and then basically pissed a lot of people off.
All right, look, I haven't read the series. I'm wanting to read the series, so don't spoil it.
Okay, just read it, and then afterwards, just Google his name.
Right,
and that's it. And then we're not going to say anything more at the idea.
It had to do with the personal behaviors of the author. Yes,
there we go. That's all we're going to say. That's all we're going to say.
Also, is in the book... Like, Golden Compass is the anti-C.S. Lewis. Like,
yes, that's all we're going to say, though. That's all we're going to say. All
right.
We are stopping that. I'm not going to that. No.
All
right.
Is the same reason, what was that movie? Damn it.
Now, look, Dawn of Justice, when I saw the trailer, I did not really think that much of it. Like, it didn't really appeal to me. I thought the only real appealing part of Dawn of Justice trailer was the fact that Neil deGrasse Tyson was speaking in it. That was about it.
What's his name? Daryl Dixon's character, Norbert Reedus, played in it.
Boondock Saints. Nobody cared about that movie until the anniversary edition.
Yeah, you're right.
That is so true.
I love Boondock Saints. Boondock Saints is one of my favorite movies.
It didn't get a major release.
Nope.
Because the director, or the writer-director,
was very outspoken.
And more or less told Harvey Weinstein to go himself.
So that didn't pan out well.
But it's got a huge cult following.
Well,
it's not a cult following anymore.
It didn't get a cult following
until the
10th anniversary DVD. Yes, they re-released it
on
Hot Topic. Spots bought the merchandising rights and made it popular.
Yes.
It had a very—I mean, it's a good movie. I liked it, but it had virtually no views.
And plus the speech at the end of that movie that Billy Connolly, Norman Reedus, and Sean Patrick Flannery did at the end of that movie—that is by far one of the best monologue speeches in movie history.
Because this was, I mean, it was pretty much
Jackson, Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. Oh, that is a great monologue. Yeah. Or, you know,
Al Pacino in Son of a Woman. Yes. That's one. That's also one of the best monologues in movie history.
But I mainly just like the Deep Blue Sea one because then Samuel Jackson gets eaten by
a shark.
Spoilers if no one's seen that movie.
Well, I mean, hell, they did the same thing in Clerks the cartoon series. They
Shark ate me, man.
No, they referenced it in that cartoon series.
Something interesting that they announced this week, Sony and DMG Entertainment are doing 5 movies for the Valiant universe. Valiant is officially getting its own cinematic universe.
With
2 Harbinger movies, 2 Bloodshot movies, which lead into the Harbinger Wars, which is between Bloodshot and the Harbinger Foundation.
Which could be really cool, or at the least it's going to be a popcorn movie.
Harbinger's a cool enough story. It's like, for those who don't know or have ever touched the Valiant universe, Harbinger is like the most powerful man in the universe becoming a businessman. And instead of being Professor X, he's Professor X and Magneto. He is slowly taking over the entire world through a major conglomeration because he can read minds. He can create the future and basically starts controlling the world. Meanwhile, finding out other, like, mutants, basically, and is taking them under his wing and starting his own school until a kid decides he's an awful person.
Alright.
He's an awful person.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like, going back to the whole Suicide Squad thing, do you think that the movie will do better had they done separate movies for each individual character leading up to them?
No, because I think they would have screwed up those movies, too. I think they have a better chance of doing this right by accident.
Because that would have been like if they made a Gamora movie before.
Guardians.
People would have been like, who the hell is Green Chick? Why do I care?
Because she's not She-Hulk. So
no, the problem with
the She-Hulk movie would tank too if they started.
Yeah. The thing, you just have to call her something else, that would be fine. The Suicide Squad movie, I think, is going to be bad based on the fact that I don't think they're going to get an R rating. And that's always been one of the few DC books
that says... Yeah, it's a more mature title.
Yes, it's a mature
title. Wait, they're going to make it a PG-13 movie?
No way Warner Brothers is going to let that be an R rated movie. But they're going to want
for it to be right, it needs to be
an R-rated
movie.
The problem is they're probably going to do it. You just hit the nail on the head. It's probably going to be springboarded as a comedy movie more than anything else with that many cast of characters.
But isn't that absolutely pointless? To make it a comedy instead of a hardcore action movie.
Suicide Squad's a mixture.
Virtually any comedy has to be R rating.
Yes, nowadays. And the thing about Suicide Squad, it's always been a dark comedy.
Yeah,
it's about a group of supervillains.
Now remember, I've never read it.
Okay,
so.
I'm explaining it to you. It's a group of villains who are in one of the worst prisons on the planet in the DC universe, and they're offered a pardon if they complete a certain amount of missions. They get a bomb strapped to their neck and are sent out on the field to work for the government.
They're considered like the Dirty Dozen.
Someone dies every issue.
Okay.
And so the whole thing is you're supposed to make it, I think, to 12 missions. And no one has ever made it through 12 missions. And that's when the Suicide Squad book starts. The idea that somebody in the book, when it started, was going to make it to the 12th mission.
So it's like a cross between the Dirty Dozen and the movie Gamer. With Gerard Butler, you know, you get to a certain number of completed missions and you're go-free?
That's a lot of things. You make it to a certain amount. It's like Hunger Games more than anything.
Oh, okay.
You go in only a certain... That's what I'm saying. Someone always survives at the end. It's the guy who survives at the end. All right. It's one of those stories. So no one ever does.
All right, so it's more of a dark comedy than...
Because, it's also the group of the worst people in the entire planet. Well, we're talking about murderers, rapists...
How can they not do it as an R-rated movie? Because it would seem like with that type of...
Because they have an amazing ability to fuck shit up.
Okay, all I'm going to say... This is all I actually have to say about
it. So much for the censor.
No, we get three? Like two or three.
So anyway, just look at the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe game.
Mortal Kombat versus DC?
Yeah, it wasn't rated M.
All right, yeah, I played
it. Wasn't rated M.
Yeah, it wasn't rated M. The fatalities, which is a staple of any Mortal Kombat game, were definitely lowered down in the insanity. And then it's like, what's even the point of playing Mortal Kombat?
Without a fatality.
Of not, now like, that you know, blood spurting out of every orifice.
Now that you mentioned that, yeah, I remember that. Because anytime I try to do one of Superman's fatalities, you know, it just...
They're all tame because Warner Brothers doesn't let that shit fly. That's just...
I mean, a great example is the ending of Dark Knight Rises. Christopher Nolan, in the original version, had Batman eat it. Totally eat it. There was no stupid scene in Paris at the end of that movie. Originally. But Warner Brothers says, no, but you can't kill Batman. You gotta show him alive at the end of the movie in some beautiful love story in Paris. Changes the entire tone of the film. At the end.
It did.
It does. It changed the entire tone of the film. Because
I was expecting him never to show up again, and then it's like, boom.
It ruined the whole point that Batman could die. But
yeah, and Alfred just sees him, just happened to be sitting across the patio from him. It's just like, wow, really?
That's just, my point, is Warner Brothers like all are the lead infamous up. For just murdering something for the sake of getting more people to watch it.
You know, personally, if I were DC, I would have tried to find a different production company than
DC's
Warner Brothers.
DC's owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So.
Warner Brothers is the reason DC reboots all the time.
No wonder.
Yeah. It's like a Marvel movie
or anything. It's like, and truth be told, I'm not that big of a fan of Warner Brothers anymore. I mean, to be perfectly honest.
That was kind of my original point, like why I'm not really looking forward to anything.
And just think, now, that Time Warner has dropped the AOL out of the name. But remember, this is essentially who, the company, the people that started AOL own all this. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, that is the crazy thing. You know, those people that made you wait forever to get on the internet.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Come on, just Running Man, Running Man, Running Man, Running Man, Running Man.
You've got mail.
Awesome, Running Man, I'm good to go. You guys already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You waited for that icon to pop up, because that way you knew you were on the internet.
Yeah,
speaking of
bad movies, I actually liked Running Man.
So did I. It was an awesome movie.
I mean, really? It is a horrible movie, but I love it.
It's an awesome movie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Running Man.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Yeah, and the guy from Family Feud, Richard Dawson.
Dynamo, the opera singing dude who killed
him. Nothing to do with the book, which is way better, but yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I didn't know it was a book. All right.
It's a short story. Man.
And what's his name? The guy who played Professor Sub-Zero. Yeah, that guy's awesome. And then Jim Brown was in it?
One of the early Richard Bachman books.
Oh, okay.
Richard Bachman was Stephen King's alter ego. Yep. It was one of the ones he wrote before being discovered.
And who else was it? It was Jim Brown and Jesse Ventura was in it.
Yeah. This is also why
Jesse Ventura was awesome.
The joke is Lawnmower Man was also a story by Richard Bachman. Which the story and the movie have nothing to do with each other at all.
Yeah, but if you look at new renditions of new printed versions of those books, they now say Stephen King on them, probably.
No, he still prints out a lot of the books as Richard Bachman.
I don't know why.
Well, there's this ongoing story that they found the stories by Richard Bachman.
Right.
It's a gimmick.
Richard Bachman owns the copyright.
Yes. He owns the copyrights as Richard Bachman.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've never seen the Richard Bachman collection as put together by his...
The Bachman books, which have the four first books, The Running Man, mm-hmm. Thinner,
Yep.
Let's see. What was the other one?
The Body.
Because every book.
Which is Stand By Me.
That's not in the Bachman.
No, every, is it not in the every, Bachman? Every, it was written as Richard Bachman, though.
No, every book of...
That may be the new version.
No, every book of Thinner that I've seen has all said Stephen King on it. Like, anytime I go to a Barnes & Noble or whatever.
New printings may...
That's what I'm saying. It's like most of the new printings that I've seen all say Stephen King.
I'm pretty sure
The Long Walk. There's one.
Rage.
Yes. Now, Rage is the one that's really hard to find.
Yes, it is.
Because it involves a school shooting.
Yes.
Well, gee, I wonder why that would be hard to find.
Yeah. I have a Bachman book somewhere. I have a copy of all the short stories.
Just keep it. It'll probably be a collector's item in a few years.
So that's my copy of The Stand. I have one of the...
Do you have one of the unabridged copies?
Yeah. I keep it in a safe pages. Box.
That was a long ass movie. That was just a long ass movie.
The abridged version was 1,600 pages.
Jesus.
And then there's if you go to a store right now, you'll find the abridged version.
Abridged?
Yeah, so down to 1,200.
Yeah. There's a smaller copy that most people have read.
Down to 1,200, yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I'm happy I read the completely unabridged version, but I would never read it again.
Yeah, because it would probably take you forever.
Well, no, there's just so many pages that are totally useless. Like, you will learn whole people's lives before they get killed.
Right.
And they have nothing to do with the main cast of the story. There's that, like, there's whole every other chapter is somebody's whole life before they die.
Right, because basically, you know, it's all about these people coming together at the end of the world.
Yes.
You'll learn all about them, everybody, they're relatives.
They've ever known,
yeah.
All right, here's a question. If they were
It is a very verbose book.
Yes, okay. It is.
If they were going to remake Running Man, who would you like to see play Arnold Schwarzenegger's character?
Nobody. I would not remake Running Man.
No, if they remade it and stuck to the book, I could see Edward Norton doing the book's character.
Okay, yeah, I could definitely see that.
But the book, it's totally different type setup. You know, it's a different type of character, you know.
It's a totally different story.
Yeah, but if I picked anyone,
but it's too political. Yeah. To be remade right. Nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they ought to remake it. But if I had to pick someone, like if it had to be a muscled character, I would probably say Dave Bautista. I think he would probably be the most likely candidate. Either that or Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, well, I don't think Dwayne Johnson's all that good.
Well, I'm just saying as a muscle character.
Okay, well, the big difference, like, the Running Man basically is a movie version of Smash TV, the video game. Whereas you got to think in the story, it's a nationwide manhunt for one guy. You know, he gets so many dollars a day. You know, but he has to send in a video every day.
Yep.
And then they play that video and then hunt him down, and they pay people for sighting tips of him and everything. But he can say whatever he wants in that video.
So he can tell him wherever he wants to tell him.
They know where it's sent from.
Yes. But in the video, he could say that he's in, like, Portland.
He didn't have to tell him where he is.
No, I'm just saying he could tell him, hey, I'm in Portland, Oregon, but he could actually be in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right, right.
Okay.
And that's not the point
of the
videos.
But he doesn't,
the point of the videos is he gets to say anything he wants.
He gets to, supposed to agitate and,
supposed to
tease the hunters and all this other stuff.
Which they actually did in, what was it? Is that New Guardians related book?
Threshold. Yeah. Yes, they make a running man.
Yeah, they
man
pretty
joke.
Much make, Threshold is pretty much a Running Man reference, like where it's the exact same.
Oh, yeah, speaking of references, the Flash number 3, Guerrilla Warfare, there was a reference to Planet of the Apes.
Of course. There.
Yeah. I read that, and I just thought it was funny, but yeah, all right, go ahead.
Which, what he ends up using the videos to do is to expose conspiracies more or less.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and that, yeah, you know, well, not, you know, that actually turned out to be true. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So do you think,
like, the character of, what was Weiss, the guy with the glasses, who was the Brainiac, do you think, like, the character in the book is more like him?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in a really long time.
Really, it's the guy with the glasses who was trying to break the
I know who you're talking
break the
about.
Code and got killed by the opera singer. You know, got electrified.
I mean, it's not really. There's not really a correlation in the book.
Yeah. I guess I'm just gonna have to read the book.
The book.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, like,
then, the
like
is
all
totally
those other
different.
Characters, like the character Arnold Schwarzenegger plays shares the name.
Yeah, that's about it.
And then the movie shares the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the book's totally different.
Totally.
There is a game show, but it's not like in a studio.
Nothing like that.
They took a lot of liberties.
The
game
the
show would be like The Amazing Race if they were allowed to kill each other.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And if the race went on until only
somebody
one
died.
Survivor
yes.
was left.
Oh. Think of Battle Royale. Battle Royale does a good job of taking that story and making it into a movie.
Okay.
Right.
It takes a bunch of teenagers, puts them on an island, and only one person can survive. And they televise it for the rest of the world. That's what Battle Royale is.
What was that?
That's more what Running Man, is like.
What was that movie with Steve Austin and Vinnie Jones? The one where they were convicts and had explosives tied to their leg and said, you know, the last person survives goes home or gets pardoned, whatever it was.
Death Race?
No.
Is that a remake of Death Race?
No,
I never saw the remake of Death
was
Race.
Was it Condemned? Was that it? The Condemned?
I don't know. I've seen that so many times.
It's so many different storylines.
It's become such a cliche nowadays.
Oh, man.
Hey, Jesse, you know what the name of that movie is? The one with Steve Austin, Vinnie Jones. They had explosives tied to their ankles, got put on an island with like 12 other convicts, and the last person survived, got a pardon, went home.
It's Suicide Squad, right? I mean, that's basically the plot of Suicide Squad.
I think that's The Condemned. So is it more like that,
mixed
like with the running, like in regards to the Running Man? But it's actually in the country.
But you know, but in Battle Royale, they also have bombs strapped to their neck.
All right,
and it came out what? Like,
Avengers Arena.
15 years ago.
Something like that.
15 years ago.
What?
And they all go on an island.
They all go on an island,
and they all have to kill each other, and then they can go home.
Oh, here. Go ahead. Let me look.
So, it is about that time.
It is.
So, final thoughts.
I found out when Tabletop Day is at the Gallatin Library.
Yeah.
So, it's on the 21st on a Thursday. It starts at 5, goes to 7. And then the JobAcon is at Cumberland University in Lebanon on the 23rd of May. And it's supposed to start, I think, like 9 in the morning and go all... It's just like a one-day con on a Saturday, so...
Nice.
I looked up on the website, like, everything that's involved with it. Mm-hmm. I think this may be the first year they're doing it, so I think it's kind of like, you know, a tread-the-water kind of thing just to see how many people will show up and see if it'll be, like, an ongoing thing that they do, so...
Mm-hmm.
But I think there'll probably be more vendors there than... Just a whole heap of panels and whatnot. I mean, there'll be quite a few panels, but like not nearly as many as what was at MTAC. So
right,
yeah,
okay.
So and plus it's at Cumberland University, so I'm sure they had to schedule it on a day when you know there would be no students there.
Yeah,
right.
So
fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Final thought is good night, Elaine. And
damn it,
Avengers was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was impressed. They got to do a lot more than I think I expected them to do in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing where the Marvel Cinematic Universe goes from here.
I would have liked to see War Machine play a bigger role in it than he did.
And you know what? I think he will, and that's the point.
Yeah, in the next one he will, because
he's on the
team.
At the change of guard in every iteration of the Avengers, you always just see skimpers of who's going to be on the team next before they actually get to be on the team. Yeah. So it's a good nod to let all of those who are there leave and give them reasons to go.
Without saying who left.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the movie's still pretty fresh, and we're going to try and not give you all spoilers if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. And does a good. It's a good changing of the guard. Yeah, I think it's a good in-between movie as far as whatever the next is to go. It's one of those. It's a good plot. It does a good job of giving me everybody I wanted
now,
in an unforgiving way.
Now, the four at the end were...
Well, without saying anything.
Without saying anything, but there were four people that showed up. It was Scarlet Witch, and who's... What's the name of the guy with the Mind Stone? I can't remember.
The Vision.
Yeah, the Vision. And what, Falcon and...
This is exactly what I wanted to not say.
Sorry.
I didn't want to spoil this because it's so fresh.
Sorry.
There's people at the end of the movie that are supposed to be a team.
Well, I was just wanting to ask, who do you think is going to, like, who else from the Marvel Universe is going to show up? If you had to pick anyone.
I'm sure all the people that have been announced as movies, Black Panther's getting a movie, Spider-Man's getting a movie, Captain Marvel's getting a movie.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gearing up for Civil War.
Doctor Strange, they all happen before the next Avengers movie. So just like this current group, everyone will get a movie before you see them on the team.
When do you think the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie is going to show up?
2017.
Yeah, they pretty much have...
2017?
They have all the data. You could look at all...
The next 10 years.
In fact, I think there's this really awesome website called...
That's
totally...
Really? Outright Geekery? Tell me more.
OutrightGeekery.com is your best source for all your local, beautiful, wonderful comic book news and gaming. We totally have this really awesome post. If you just click on Marvel, you can find all of the release dates for Phase 3.
But why are they waiting till 2017
because
to release it?
Seven movies before.
They're only doing so many movies a year.
I mean, they got to space it out.
Two or three movies
a year? Yeah,
it's two movies a year.
Three a year, I think, from 2017 on. It's two this year, two next year, and then three from 2017 on. There's a beautiful, wonderful schedule that we've already made for you. OutrightGeekery.com.
I forgot it's 2015.
Yes.
Shut up.
We're almost halfway through the
year. We're close.
All right. Well, my final thought, Excelsior.
Excelsior. and I wanted to say goodnight, Elaine.
Oh, he already did.
Okay. We're on the phone.
But I also wanted to say, to Elaine... You know, we're not trying to tease you when we say that.
Yeah.
We appreciate you listening. We are just teasing Miguel. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Heather, there's a new gem in the holograms thing over here on the shelf. You need to get your butt down here and get it.
All right, welcome to see us here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. Or check us out online, comiccity2.com or outrightgeekery.com. This has been Geeks of the... Square Table. See you next week.
Bye.